Okay, welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Wednesday, December 3rd, 2025. Programming note, we won't have an interview today or tomorrow. Probably Friday, but I'm not entirely certain. In any case, we will pick up the interviews again next week at the latest. But I do have a lot of interesting special reports for you here and some additional updates. So, let's see. In terms of special report, and we're also going to cover the news here about Japan's bonds. We're going to cover some fascinating information out of China. And I've got a special report coming up here called The AI Bubble Explained, Why OpenAI is Going to Crater, but NVIDIA Will Stay Strong. So I've got a new analysis about the so-called AI bubble, which is really a stock bubble, not a technology bubble. The tech is great and strong, and the tech will continue to grow. But the stock prices, they look pretty insane, but only for U.S. companies, not companies in France or China or other countries. It's only a U.S. thing right now. There's definitely an AI stock price bubble in the U.S., so I will explain that in the special report. In the meantime, I want to explain what's happening with Japan's, well, stimulus money and interest rate on its bonds, etc. I'll keep this short, but this is really important to understand. So for many years, Japan has had essentially a 0% interest rate. This has been a form of stimulus to try to keep Japan's economy going. And because borrowing money was essentially free in Japan for so many years, and by the way, I'm oversimplifying this scenario, but you'll get the point. Because borrowing money was free, many people borrowed money, or investors borrowed money from Japan, and then they used it to purchase treasuries in the U.S. because the treasuries were paying like 4% or 4.5% or what have you. But in Japan, then it was 0%. So they made the spread. They profited between the two. But as a result, they had to borrow money in Japan in Japanese yen, and then they had to sell the yen, buy dollars, use the dollars to buy treasuries. In doing this, Japan's central bank effectively became a free money machine for a lot of investors, and also a free money machine to generate money to buy U.S. treasuries, which helped the U.S. sell treasury debt and keep its own 10-year treasury bond rates lower, like lower than 5%, let's say. Now, this is great for the U.S. Treasury because then you can sell debt at a lower yield, which means lower cost of servicing that debt over time. So it prevents the U.S. debt from spiraling out of control. But this was all dependent on Japan having 0% interest rates. And that entire situation has been called the carry trade, the carry trade. And there was a blip a few months back when certain segments of the carry trade began to unravel, and some little earthquakes in the financial industry, but I'm not going to go into that. What's happening now is that Japan announced $150+ billion, that's U.S. dollar, stimulus because its economy is faltering big time. And because of this stimulus, and because of what's happening with Japanese bonds, and fewer investors have faith in the Japanese government's capability of paying back the lenders, what's happened is that the Japanese central bank bond rates have now risen sharply. And some of those bonds are now up to 3.3%. So from 0% to 3.3%, I think that's for the 20-year or the 30-year bonds, something like that. Some of the rates are lower than 3.3. They're like 2.9 or 2.7%. But the point is that now the spread between Japan's rates and U.S. rates, which is hovering right around 4.08%, something like that right now, that spread is no longer profitable enough to justify the carry trade activities. So as a result, the free gravy money train of free Japanese money to buy U.S. treasuries to keep treasury rates down or yields down, that gravy train has come to a halt. And all the investors that were making this free money off all this are now going to have to unwind a lot of their positions and settle up and get the money back to Japan that they owe to Japan, or at least to do so over time. And as a result, there's going to be a lot of people who are sort of hung out to dry on this, right? So the free Japanese money machine has come to an end. And that is going to affect the U.S. It's going to make it more difficult for the U.S. Treasury to find buyers who want to buy U.S. debt, because one of the big buyers, Japan, or that is investors using Japanese money, that's dried up now. And this means that ultimately U.S. rates are going to have to go higher. They're going to start creeping from 4% towards 5%. And this is going to, you know, throw a wrench into Trump's plan to try to get those rates as low as possible, so that, as Trump wants to do, he wants to refinance all U.S. debt into 50-year bonds at very low interest rates, like 2.5%. And that's probably not going to happen, which means that the doomsday arrival date for the U.S. dollar is it's fast approaching. We don't know when it's going to happen, but right now it does appear that they are holding together the dollar currency with something like duct tape and baling wire, a little bit of chewing gum in there. They're trying to MacGyver this thing together, hold it just long enough for Trump to make it through this term, I think. And I'm not sure he's going to before something big breaks. We shall see. You know, the other thing to keep in mind here is that Japan is not interested in buying more U.S. treasuries. That is, Japan's central bank is not interested. They used to be a major buyer, one of the largest holders of U.S. treasuries. Not anymore. They are slowly rolling out of treasuries because, well, Japan is beginning to focus more domestically. They want to have more domestic savings and more domestic investment of infrastructure because, of course, Japan is suffering a demographic collapse, not having enough new children, not having enough babies, not enough couples having babies, you know. And as a result, they are sort of circling the wagons financially. And they don't want money going outside of Japan to fund U.S. debt. They would rather have that money stay in Japan to fund Japanese infrastructure, Japanese government, and, of course, Japanese benefits and pensions and all those kinds of things. And you can't blame them. Wouldn't you rather invest in your own country instead of investing in somebody else's country? You know, Trump should maybe hear that too. Instead of sending money everywhere else in the world, maybe we should invest money here domestically. I don't know. The Japanese think that's a great idea, and I agree with that. So maybe the Trump administration will figure out how to do that one day. In the meantime, we're just throwing money all over the world, it seems. Here, it's a free printing press. Just have another trillion. Okay. Yeah, that's why grocery prices are so high. Now, at the same time, Japan is no longer interested in purchasing a lot of U.S. debt. China isn't either, and you can't blame them because, well, there's a lot of animosity from the U.S. administration toward China, as we've seen demonstrated through Trump's tariffs. So China has decided, hey, we're not going to lend money to a country that's basically poised to attack us and to punish us. So China is taking money that would otherwise be used for treasuries in the past, you know, U.S. treasuries, and instead China is purchasing gold, lots and lots of gold, because, of course, gold doesn't rely on the faith and credit of the U.S. government to have value, whereas treasuries do. You know, the U.S. government can default on treasuries, but it can't default on gold that you have in your possession because there's no counterparty risk, right? So that's why countries are moving away from U.S. treasuries and purchasing gold and silver. And by the way, the dollar, which is a counterfeit currency, is backed by nothing. Not gold, not silver. It's backed by literally nothing. And the fact that the U.S. Treasury, through the Fed, can print unlimited trillions of those fiat currency dollars, that means it's worse than nothing. It's negative. That is, they're stealing from you every day as long as you hold dollars. The value is going down daily as they keep printing. That's worse than holding just like 500 gallons of diesel or something. You know, at least the diesel is just going to sit there and hold value. Well, I guess eventually over a number of years, it would lose value. But the dollar is losing value every hour of every day rapidly. So who wants to hold treasury debt around the world? Seriously, who? Who's sitting there saying, oh yeah, I've got a few billion dollars. Let's buy treasuries of the most indebted, you know, the most corrupt money printing machine ever in history, which is the U.S. empire. Nobody wants to hold that debt because that debt's no good in the long run. I can't believe anybody's even buying 10-year treasuries at all. 10 years from now, you think the U.S. treasury is going to exist? You think the dollar is going to have value 10 years from now? I'm just like, I'd be surprised if it has even 10% of its current value remaining in 10 years. I mean, it may have less than 1% of its current value. So just keep all that in mind. By the way, silver is right around $58 right now. And I had predicted earlier in the summer that it would hit $50 by the end of this year. So we're way above that already. I mean, we're almost 20% above that, or getting close to it. Gold is over $4,200 an ounce. So those of you who have gold and silver, you are doing great. You're doing great right now. And of course, our gold and silver sponsor, if you want to get physical in your hands, is Battalion Metals, co-founded by Tucker Carlson. And you can reach them at metalswithmike.com. That's metalswithmike.com. A very trustworthy, honest, high-integrity operation with highly competitive pricing. Otherwise, Tucker Carlson wouldn't put his name on it. You can count on that. Okay, now, here's something else that you may want to hear about. And this is about the whole idea of trying to build microchip factories in America, thinking that it's easy to get them up to speed. You know, Trump is always bragging about, hey, this company promised to build a plant in America. And one of those companies is Taiwan Semiconductor, or TSMC, which is, of course, the world's most important semiconductor manufacturing facility. Well, in Taiwan, you know, they're highly, highly successful. But they tried to build a microchip manufacturing facility in Arizona. And in the last quarter, what happened is this microchip plant, as Trump says, its profits plummeted 99%. So it still made some money. It made $41 million. This is the U.S. subsidiary, single quarter profit of TSMC. Still made $41 million, but they should have made $4.2 billion. So they lost 99%. Now, what happened? Well, it turns out that, first of all, it took 5 years to build that factory in Arizona, and it went way over cost because of, you know, the cost of labor, the cost of materials, the supply chains not working very well in the United States. Also, you know, water quality and things like that. So they finally got it up and running. But then there was a power outage. Now, if you know anything about microchip wafer manufacturing, you know that power outages are absolutely fatal, because a silicon wafer, and there may be tens of thousands of them in production at any one time in a microchip factory. Did you know that it takes months for a wafer to go through all the different stages of processing from start to finish? One of those stages being, of course, UV lithography, probably the most important stage. But there are many other stages like polishing and vacuum deposition of certain elements, conductive elements, and many other stages. And then it happens layer after layer after layer. So these microchips are not just one layer. Many of them can be 17 layers, for example. And these silicon wafers, they move from station to station to station, day after day, for months on end until they're finally finished. So some of these, I mean, it depends on the chip design, but some of them might take anywhere from 6 weeks to 3 months to complete. And during this time, there are typically easily hundreds of millions of dollars of microchips that are in the queue. And if you lose power to the facility at any time, all the microchip wafers are ruined all at once. So you just have to write off, you know, well, there goes $400 million in microchip wafers. What happened? Lost power. Yeah. The last time you lost power in your house, if you thought that was bad, you know, the lights flickered. Imagine losing $500 million in microchips. So, of course, these facilities, they have backup power. But they had a failure. And again, this is because the U.S. infrastructure it's sort of trending toward third world infrastructure. That's just the honest truth. We don't really have a first world country anymore in the USA. We have, in many parts, it's more like a third world infrastructure. So anyway, what this means is that you can't just take manufacturing technology from Taiwan and copy and paste it into Arizona. No matter how much Trump loves to talk about this or even brag about it sometimes, oh, you know, $500 billion investment in Texas is coming. Well, okay, it sounds great, yeah, but can you get the plant up and running in Texas and or Arizona for that matter, or anywhere? And often the answer is not exactly, you know. It's very inefficient, and there can be huge losses because America's infrastructure is crumbling. And also, frankly, the workforce is not very technical. We don't have the numbers of engineers in America that Taiwan has per capita, or China, for example, has way more engineers per capita compared to the United States. So they can gather, you know, an amazing group of talented people to do all kinds of things in China or in Taiwan or in places like Korea, etc. Whereas the U.S., even though there are some very intelligent and very talented people in the United States, our universities are mostly graduating woke idiots at this point. It turns out woke idiots are not good at running UV lithography equipment because they use it to dye their hair purple instead, and then they go blind. So, you know, it's a shocking gap between what Taiwan can do locally, domestically, or what China can do in a city like Beijing or, you know, other industrial cities in the South. What China can do domestically is so much more efficient than what the U.S. can do anywhere. And that's why China is clearly going to outproduce the U.S. on robots as well as drones. I mean, they already are, but electric vehicles. And then soon, China is going to outproduce the U.S. and Taiwan on microchips. That's right. So Taiwan Semiconductor, they have a lead right now. They're in the lead, but that lead is not going to last forever. China's going to catch up very rapidly. And then China will be the dominant manufacturer of hardware for AI. Eventually, it's going to take a few years, but they will get there. It's just a matter of time. So keep that in mind. I mean, I'm glad that we're trying to make things in the U.S. It's just that companies like Taiwan Semiconductor, at some point, they're going to say, you know, it's just not worth it to try to run these facilities in the U.S. because they're unprofitable, or they may become unprofitable. So especially, think about it, U.S. power costs are much higher, U.S. labor costs, U.S. healthcare costs, because as a country, we feed everybody a bunch of processed garbage junk food, and then we mass medicate them with pharmaceuticals, and we call it healthcare, right? So you don't produce actually a prosperous nation if you don't have healthy individuals. And turns out I've got a whole report on that very point. So actually, we're going to play that one right now. It's called "You Can't Create a Prosperous Nation Without Healthy Individuals," and then we will continue on the other side. Here we go. You can't have a healthy nation without healthy people. You can't have a productive nation without productive people. And what we are seeing in America right now with the U.S. empire is this total disconnect where not just Trump's administration, but every administration thinks that, you know, the health and the functioning of the people doesn't matter. We'll bring in foreign investment, you know, or we'll just print more money and create abundance by printing money. And it doesn't matter, they think, that the people are very unhealthy. They're, that they're living on processed junk foods and mass medication, and the school system is totally broken and failing. They think, that is the people in charge, they think that even if the citizens of the United States are diseased and uneducated and incapable of doing anything, that somehow the country can be made great through financialization and through artificial GDP, which is, you know, a whole lot of dollar printing. It's a whole lot of military weapons exporting, which does boost GDP. It's a lot of healthcare spending, which also counts for GDP, but doesn't typically improve the quality of people's lives, etc. But none of that's going to work. None of that's going to work. Like I said, opening this up, you can't have a healthy nation or a strong nation without strong individuals. So the real answer to how you make America great again, or how you make America healthy again, the real answer is actually very, very simple. It's simpler than you might suppose. It's you have to make the individuals healthy again and great again and strong again. And how do you do that? Well, you can't force it on people, but you have to stop poisoning them for one thing. So you got to end the mass vaccination programs that are hurting people. You have to stop the education system from its current structure. You need radical reforms. You need, you know, decentralized schooling. You need school choice, etc. You need competition in the education sector so that education is better and more effective, because we don't have that right now either. We have government-run schools that suck and that churn out either mathematically illiterate students or, in blue states and blue cities, woke idiots who don't know how to do anything. And it doesn't matter how high you raise the tariffs, Trump, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you print. You can't create abundance when the people are suffering under bad education, bad healthcare, you know, bad vaccines, all of it. It's very simple. Now, there was a time when America was very strong and abundant, and that's because the individuals were strong and abundant. You could say the post-World War II era. People were more capable then than they are now, overall. They could do more math. They had greater comprehension of reading. They were better writers. They were just smarter people overall. And then what happened is, because of all the abundance that the U.S. empire experienced post-World War II, generation after generation, people got apathetic. And people just weren't as driven as they used to be because life was too easy. And I know that right now, for a lot of people, it doesn't feel like life is easy. It feels like life is very hard. Food inflation, etc. But that's a result of the apathy that has transformed into widespread incompetence, where we have a nation, the United States of America, a nation where a huge percentage of the people are not competent in doing much. Now, there are some very competent people. There are some great innovators and great leaders and hard workers in America. Thank God that the American spirit is still alive and well in a large number of people. But I don't think that's the majority of the country. In fact, I'm sure it's not the majority. I think that it's less than 50% of Americans who represent the kind of rugged individualism and, you know, the kind of innovation and determination, hard work, creative thinking that made America great. So you can't make America great again by raising tariffs and then handing out money to people. That doesn't make America great. It just makes America a welfare state. And that's not great. That's more like socialism, right? You can't make America great again by printing money, because money, or currency, I should say, printing currency doesn't create abundance. It causes inflation, but it doesn't create abundance. It doesn't manufacture anything. It doesn't make goods. It doesn't create food or products or services for people. The act of printing currency only takes away from people. And the entire MAHA movement, Make America Healthy Again, what has MAHA done? Well, there have been some interesting and important, let's say, achievements that are just slowly chipping away at the pharmaceutical industrial complex, you know, changes at FDA, maybe some additional changes coming at the CDC, who knows, a few changes around the edges, but not, there's been no tackling of the wholesale core issues, which is that Americans are on far too many pharmaceuticals. They're eating, you know, processed junk foods. They're living on garbage and wondering why they get sick all the time. And no one in positions of authority is telling them the truth about the dangers of vaccines and pharmaceuticals or processed food ingredients. No one. As a result, there's still this incredible censorship and information control that deprives people of access to information that they need to be healthy and abundant and wise and all the things that make a nation great. And by the way, competition makes a nation great. We need competition among people in schools. No more everybody gets an A for showing up. That's not competition. That's like socialism or something. Maybe Marxism. But we know that the university system in California churns out graduates of high school who can't do seventh grade math. And it's a huge number. In fact, it's 1/8 of the college freshmen coming out of the California school system. 1/8 of the college freshmen can't do seventh grade math. And they have to put them through remedial math courses. But their average math grade in high school was A-. So they're given A grades, but they can't do math. And so that's got to stop. That whole thing has to end if we're going to be great as a nation. We have to have meritocracy, we have to have competition, and we have to tell some students that, hey, that last test you took, yeah, you sucked. You get an F, you failed. You can't just keep handing out A's like, oh, let's give everybody an A, make them feel good about math. Doesn't it feel good to not know any math but still get an A? Yeah, that's got to stop. You need to be willing to hand out F's in order to create an environment where students strive to actually get the right answers. So not only do we need competition in education and in college admissions, we also need competition back in the business sector. And of course, you know, we don't really have competition much right now. I mean, we don't have a free market system. What we have is an oligopoly system, or maybe a technocracy. We have certain companies that are given favors by the government, certain companies that get all this government grant money or government business money. And that could be, you know, Amazon with its AWS system, or these AI companies, these big tech giants, etc. They get all this government money, so they don't have to compete. They don't have to earn anything. They just get all these massive handouts. And as a result, achieving profitability in the private sector is more about being liked by the current administration than it is about providing goods and services that improve the quality of people's lives, you know, at the high levels of that. Why do you think the leaders of Google and Facebook and Amazon or whoever all met with Trump? It's because they want the favoritism. They want the handouts. And they know that it's not a level playing field of actual competition. They know it's a game of government handouts and government favors, government contracts, grants, etc. So that's the game they play. And that game hurts the country as a whole. And there may be smaller companies that have people or ideas that are far superior that are passed over because, well, they're not friends of the current administration, whatever that happens to be. It was true under Joe Biden. It was true under Barack Obama. And it's true under Trump as well. Everybody wants to be friends of the administration because that's the way to get the favoritism that guarantees your profits. And then that favoritism becomes protectionism. So for a long time, even now, there are huge tariffs on electric vehicles from China. And the primary beneficiary of those tariffs is, of course, Tesla. And also, you know, to some extent, Ford or whoever else is making EVs in America. But Tesla has been able to sell its EVs at a much higher price due to the, I think, 100% tariffs on China's EVs, even though China makes better vehicles for less money, you know, lower costs, but vastly superior vehicles with much greater technology compared to U.S. EVs. It's not even close. In fact, China's automobiles are just, I don't know, a decade ahead of the U.S. at this point. If you're buying a new car in the United States, you're not buying the best in the world. You're buying, you know, you're buying a generation obsolete compared to what people are buying in China. So why is that the case? Because of protectionism, to protect certain companies and certain industries. And you might argue, well, we need that protectionism because we have to maintain the domestic car companies. It's important to have a domestic industry. Fine. Okay. Fine. But the side effect of that, even if you agree with it, is that U.S. car companies, they don't innovate as quickly. I mean, Ford is, it's a joke. Ford's a total joke. I think they're even halting much of their production of their F-150 Ford Lightning truck, which was an EV truck. And it's truly one of the dumbest ideas ever. Because you, if you try to tow something with your Ford truck, it uses up all the power. You can't tow much of anything. And yet, it's designed for towing. But it's an EV with towing capability that doesn't tow very far before you use all your juice. So what use is that? That doesn't even make sense. But Ford builds crap and sells crap to U.S. consumers because of federal government tax credits that make their crap more affordable than the higher quality goods that you would get from somebody else. And when you get down to it, you ask the question, why does Ford fail to create the best cars in the world? Even when Henry Ford was the first person, you know, to have mass production of automobiles with the Model T. We were the leader of the world at that time. What happened in just about 100 years? What happened? Well, Americans, well, again, got kind of hyper-privileged and apathetic and are no longer focused on being healthy and intelligent and very effective people. Now it's about things like, oh, can I get a $2 coupon on this fast food, you know? And can I live in a big house that I can't afford because there's a 50-year mortgage? Or how can I drive a car that I also can't afford? I just want to be able to make the minimum payments on it, you know, this kind of thing. And it's even true in graduate school. I know a person that's going through an MBA program at a major Texas university that's famous for MBAs. And this person tells me that on all the group projects, when there's four people working on the project together, three out of four people do nothing. Every time, three out of four people do absolutely nothing. But they're going to get the MBA degree, even though they don't know what they're doing, because they just let the other person do all the work. And also, three out of four people are just using ChatGPT to carry out most of the work. So even when you have graduate students coming out of good schools, you can't take that degree to mean anything. They may have faked their way through the school. Yes, that's a thing. And that's going to happen more and more. We just have this lack of a work ethic, this lack of greatness that has infested American culture, sadly. And it's crippled the nation, and it's been promoted through TV and movies. Like, it's, you know, it's cool to be stupid in the school system. And, you know, it's cool to be stupid in business, etc. Well, that's just not what makes a country great. So bottom line, if you want to make America great again and you want to make America healthy again, you got to follow the kinds of things that I teach. Nutrition, discipline, constant learning, always learning at any age. You know, eating healthy foods, having exercise and fitness and sunlight exposure, which is also very healthy. And then using that good health to advance your skills constantly so you're never becoming obsolete. If we did that on a wider scale in this country, America would be the dominant country in the world in mathematics and discoveries, innovation, science, you know, you name it. We would be the best in the world. We'd be leading the world in everything from rockets to robotics and AI and advanced materials, you name it. But we're not. We're not. We're leading in some of those areas, like heavy lift rockets. But there's a lot of areas where we've fallen behind where we were once the world leader, like automobile innovation or robotics, for that matter. China's the leader in robotics now. So we've lost it. And this is not going to be resolved by having a bunch of foreign nations invest a few trillion dollars in data centers to where, yeah, you generate GDP, but the people are still obese, sick, mass medicated, and dumbed down. You know, we fluoridated the water supply for decades and dumbed everybody down, you know, injected everybody with vaccines and caused brain damage, loaded up all the kids on psychiatric drugs and called it medicine or psychiatry. You know, just served up junk food, processed food, toxic ingredients in the food supply, FDA approved, USDA approved, from pesticides and herbicides to cancer-causing sodium nitrite to brain-damaging lead and other heavy metals, allowed all across the food supply. We've done this for decades, and then now we wonder, like, how come we can't compete? Yeah, because you've poisoned your nation for generations. That's why. And then your tech companies like Google censor anybody like me that tells the truth so that they can instead promote big pharma. More pharmaceuticals. It's almost like Brondo. It's what plants crave, you know. Vaccines, it's what humans need. That's all a lie. So that's the reason. That's why the U.S. is losing to other countries in terms of success and innovation, hard work, etc. That's why. Now, what would happen if you said to the 42 million people collecting food stamp welfare in America that from now on, food stamps can only be used to purchase unprocessed foods? Doesn't even have to be organic, just unprocessed food ingredients like fresh produce or rice and beans and legumes, or just, you know, chicken breasts or hamburger meat or whatever. But no soda, no garbage cereals, no Pop-Tarts, no junk. What would happen? Well, everybody would lose their minds because they're so used to living on junk, they don't know how to eat healthy. And that only perpetuates generation after generation of dependence on this welfare system. To the point where a few generations into that, you've got a group of people that are absolutely incapable of functioning at any kind of, you know, productive level in society. They can't. They don't know what that even means. Their entire existence is collecting money, living on junk foods, having more babies, and I don't know, maybe clicking on social media or something, just consuming everything, consuming Netflix, consuming TV, consuming junk food, and then consuming vaccines and pharmaceuticals, etc. But they can't add anything meaningful to the world because the government has kept them trapped in that cycle of, well, failure, really. So, bottom line, you want to make America healthy again and make the country great again? You got to stop the censorship. You got to end all the censorship of people who are telling the truth about health. And if you're not willing to end the censorship, then you'll never have a healthy population. Because think about it, if more people in the country followed the advice of people like me, our country would be healthier, happier, more abundant, more creative, better longevity, lower healthcare costs, and absolutely more productive in the workplace. But if you have a country that follows the advice of, let's say, Google, that only pushes vaccines and pharmaceuticals, then you're going to have a failed country, which is what we're experiencing right now. Because people search on Google, they will never find anything about nutrition and herbs and cancer prevention and diabetes reversals and the dangers of vaccines, etc. Because Google prohibits all of that information. So it's the tech giants that are playing a critical role in keeping us trapped in this cycle of failure, disease, dependence, suppressed cognition, suppressed immune function, etc. And I think that's all by design. This is not a mistake. These are all vectors of destruction of the United States of America, a country that I'm trying to save with uplifting, powerful information about health and nutrition. So my final message in this podcast is to anybody in the nation listening, you want to make America healthy again and great again? End the censorship. That's why the First Amendment exists, by the way. You have to end the censorship. And what you need to do is you need to go criminally prosecute everybody in the tech industry that took part in censorship during COVID and even after that. You need to prosecute them, throw them in prison for their crimes against humanity, for depriving people access to information that they need to be healthy and productive. That's what you need to do. Start making arrests. And if you have to, dismantle the all these companies. Dismantle tech giants that are engaged in censorship. And send a message. If you're going to censor Americans, you don't get to function as a business in America. Very simple. Which is the opposite of what Europe is doing, by the way. The UK says to big tech, if you don't censor, then you can't function in our country. You must censor. Whereas what I'm suggesting is exactly the opposite. We have to say, if you do censor, then you're not allowed to function. You must not censor. That's the answer. And also, it's evident that Western Europe is collapsing and imploding. It's a failed, subcontinent. And the censorship is their last way to try to maintain control as their systems are collapsing. But it won't work. They will collapse. So there you go. Simple answers to truly save America. But will anybody in power implement these answers? Probably not. So it's your responsibility to bypass the censorship and learn the truth through the decentralized tools that we make available, like our new book engine at books.brightlearn.ai. Or you can find all of our engines, all of our AI tools, at brighteon.ai. I encourage you to go there. Just go to brighteon.ai and you can click on all our different tools and experience all those, and they will help you stay informed. You will bypass censorship. You'll learn about how to reverse diseases like cancer, how to be healthy and abundant and wise and have good longevity and even greatly improved happiness, greatly improved brain function, immune function, reproductive function, you name it. Your life is going to get better when you connect with the information that myself and my firms are putting out there. Brighteon.ai or naturalnews.com or brighteon.com as a video platform. But use our information, and whether or not America is healthy again, you can make yourself healthy again. You can make yourself great again. You can make yourself, abundant, wealthy, brilliant, joyful. All those things are within your reach right now. So don't wait around for your government to make you healthy. That's never going to happen, actually. Don't wait around. Do it yourself. Start right now with your very next meal or your next trip to the grocery store. What you buy determines the results you get. It's very simple. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. If you want really healthy food, by the way, shop with us, healthrangerstore.com. We've got laboratory-tested, almost all certified organic, foods and superfoods, high-end nutritional supplements, including turmeric tincture, which is really high-end and heavily tested because there's a lot of lead in turmeric around the world. So we do our own lead testing and microbiology, glyphosate, atrazine, E. coli, I mean, all kinds of things. We have our own lab. So we do all that ourselves to make sure that you get clean, nutrient-dense foods and superfoods. And all that is available at healthrangerstore.com. Make yourself healthy again. Shop at healthrangerstore.com. Don't wait around for the government because they're never gonna do anything that's useful on this front, except, you know, maybe more handouts to big pharma, handouts to big tech, the very organizations that are crushing this country. They're going to get more money from the government. Of course they are. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here. Take care. All right. So, hey, let me give you an update on what's happening at brightlearn.ai. So yesterday we had 180 books that had been created there. And now that number is, 233 books. Not quite 250, but it's getting there. It's amazing. I'm going to tell you about some of the titles here. And Ty Bollinger did another book called Bloodlines of Deceit, The Eugenic Roots of Planned Parenthood, and the Christian Case Against Murder in the Womb. And I also did a book today called Vaccines Cause Autism. It's a very simple title. And it's a great book. I mean, it really doesn't hold back. We've had now 20,000 book downloads and 12,000 book reads. Now, I mentioned earlier, we did have a problem with the email delivery. I'm told now that that's solved. So if you had trouble downloading a PDF earlier, try it again. And it should work now. It works with Gmail, works with Proton Mail, works with Yahoo Mail and others. And if it doesn't work, then wait a few hours and try it again. But I'll tell you this, we're going to roll out something pretty soon that will alleviate that problem. You won't have to download each book individually. Instead, you're going to be able to download entire categories. And to do that, you won't need to enter an email address. So you know how we have, I think, 17 categories currently, one of those being food, one of them is nutrition, technology, etc. You'll be able to go to the category tab. This is coming up soon. And you'll be able to request a download of the entire collection as one big zip file. And then it will ask you to complete a Cloudflare CAPTCHA challenge to make sure you're not a robot. don't want robots using our bandwidth. But usually that CAPTCHA challenge is very simple. Sometimes it just says automatically, yes, you're good. So anyway, doing that, you'll be able to download the entire zip file collection category by category. And that should be very useful for you. And remember, this is our goal, is to allow you to do that. We want you to be able to download the entire collection, one chunk at a time. And then we'll update that collection with all the new books. And then remember, what's coming too is we're going to have Spanish translations of the books. And then eventually we'll have a Spanish interface for generating books in Spanish right from the get-go. But that's going to take a while. The next interim step is to have Spanish translations of existing books. And then we'll also have translations into other languages automatically. And that should be interesting. I guess we get to find out how good the translator is, huh? So check this out. Here's some of the most recent books that have been published. Sweet Poison. It's called The Bitter Truth About Sugar, Its Grip on Humanity, and the Path to Liberation. Daily Bread of Life, 365 NIV Prayer Meditations Through the Bible. Nourish and Thrive, the ultimate sugar-free, flour-free healing cookbook. Anti-inflammatory recipes for every meal. That'd be interesting. I'm kind of curious if that book in the text, if it did a good job with the recipes. I'll have to check that out. Plowed Under, The Death of the Family Farm and the Fight to Reclaim Our Land. Here's one on chess. Checkmate Your Mind, How Chess Unlocks Genius and Supercharges Brain Health. That sounds fun. Heavy Fortunes, The Alchemy of Gold and Silver Investment. Here's one from Corey Andrelot called The 5 Questions That Destroy Every Political Belief. Should be interesting. Oh, and check this out. Here's a book on the Mandela Effect called Reality Rewritten. The Mandela Effect and the Mystery of Collective Memory. Huh? Yeah, that would be really interesting. Let's see. The Great Awakening, Returning Humanity to Universal Natural Law. It's got a really cool cover, too. Let's see. And Golden Eggs, The Sacred Journey to Motherhood. Cool. A lot of interesting titles here. Rising Above, A Parent's Legal Guide to Overcoming Vaccine Mandates in California Schools and Healthcare System. Great title. That's awesome. Let's see. Oh, here's one about getting off your computer. It's called Control-Alt-Defeat, How I Kicked My AI Habit, Reclaimed My Life, and Remembered I Have Legs. This is a Hank W. Homesteader Guide to Not Being a Screen Zombie. Sounds very important, actually. Not being a screen zombie. Control-Alt-Defeat. You can reboot your life, that is, with boots. Put on some boots and get out there. I'm going to click like on that book right now. I love it. So these are just some of the books. A Gut Reset. Oh, here's a book called Selling Your AI-Generated Books on Amazon and Beyond. So it's an AI-generated book about selling AI-generated books on Amazon. How cool is that? We're getting down to the inner levels of the simulation now, aren't we? You're living in a simulation within a simulation. Within a simulation. Okay. Remember, there's actually a really great movie called Inception that talks about that. It's a dream within a dream within a dream. And then there's another movie that talks about living within the simulation, within the simulation, within the simulation. And I've forgotten the name of that movie. Okay, I'm looking it up. Here it is. The 13th Floor. Yeah, The 13th Floor. That's a movie that you might want to take a look at. 13th Floor, yeah. Okay, very, very good. So anyway, as you know, you can read and download all these books for free at books.brightlearn.ai. And if you have tokens, you can use them to create your own books, which I strongly encourage you to do because everybody's loving these books. We're having such a great time. And you can create the perfect book. You know, think about this. Oh, and by the way, if you're a Health Ranger store customer, you can go to the Loyalty Lion points in your account there at Health Ranger store. You can trade in the Loyalty Lion points for book tokens. I think it's only 300 points per token. And then you can generate a book off of each token. And these can actually, believe it or not, you can create sort of Christmas gifts. You can generate the perfect book for somebody you know, somebody you love who needs a book about something, some challenge they have in their life. Maybe it's about food, or maybe they love certain types of food. Like, I wish there was a book about, you know, Mexican ice cream recipes for children or whatever, you know. Oh, I could create that book. I can totally create that exact book. And then you can. You can create it at brightlearn.ai. And then you can give it to them for Christmas. Look, I wrote a book just for you. And did you know that you can even download the PDF file and you can use a PDF editor to alter the book if you wish or customize it further? So have fun with that. It's very cool. And thank you for your support. We couldn't do it without you. So thank you for shopping with us at healthrangerstore.com. Speaking of healthrangerstore.com, I was just recommending this to a person I know today. Did you know we have a product at the store called Cardio Clear? It's a cardiovascular support herbal formula. It's a really great formula. I'm actually purchasing this for some people. It only contains two key herbal ingredients. It's arjuna bark powder, and it's organic. So organic arjuna bark powder, and then organic hawthorn berry powder. And when those two are combined, they create some amazing synergies for cardiovascular support. Now, I always recommend resveratrol. And we have a really great natural plant-based oil called ahi flower oil, A-H-I flower, which is, it's kind of like fish oil, but it's made by plants. I mean, it really functions like fish oil. And when I take ahi flower, it makes my blood so thin, I have to be careful. You know, it's like, wow, the blood is really flowing here. This is pretty awesome. So ahi flower oil is great for helping things move and flow correctly. It's really awesome. And then Cardio Clear is this herbal formula. And if you do your own research about these two ingredients, like arjuna, A-R-J-U-N-A, arjuna bark powder, or hawthorn berry powder, you're going to find that they are really just extraordinary. So check it out. If you want to get that, it's available at healthrangerstore.com. And then we also have turmeric root powder back in stock, and we have astaxanthin in stock as well. We've got a lot back in stock, so check it all out. And thank you for your support. And remember, again, whatever you purchase there, when you get points, then you can trade those points in for book tokens to generate books. Now, you may have heard we're going to have a kind of a free tier for generating books, and that's true, but there are major differences between the tokens versus the free tier. For example, the book art is by far the best when you use a token. We use a completely different art engine for the free tier that is a lot less expensive, because actually the book art generation costs quite a lot. In terms of AI, it costs quite a bit, but the results are amazing. So we've picked the best engine for the book cover art. Also, if you use a token, you move to the front of the line for generation. And then finally, also on the public website, the free books don't have as prominent a position of being displayed on the home pages or the category pages compared to the token books. And this is on purpose, because we know that you're our customer or our reader or listener. You are the most informed people of all. You know, you have tokens. The books that you come up with are amazing. Whereas whatever sort of free books that people might come up with, I mean, they still may be great, but they might not be as good as what you come up with. So we want to feature your books more prominently. Your topics are amazing. I mean, here's one, The Essential Well, a comprehensive guide to finding, testing, treating, and harnessing life's most vital resource, is talking about water wells. And then here's one, Land Ho, or maybe not, Hank's hilariously honest guide to buying the perfect homestead. It's great. Yeah, love it. You know, this author, Hank Wannabe Homesteader, I love this author. He's great. He's got another book here called You Own the Dirt, Now What? Hank's hilarious, hard-won guide to turning raw land into your dream homestead. I think I got that right. Without losing your mind, marriage, or firstborn chicken. It's so, Hank's got a sense of humor. Love it. This is great. Susan Grant has a book here called Heal Yourself by Transforming Your Blood. Well, I talk about that. But it's true. You got to transform your blood if you want to transform your health. Love it. Here's another book, The 10 Most Powerful Healing Foods and Herbs. And I see turmeric on the cover. Yes, got another winner. Divine Dopamine. There's a book by Sean David Cohen, the creator of the dopamine gum, or the dopamine boosting gum with bacopa in it. That's cool. I didn't even know he had created that book. That's awesome. Got Vitality Unlocked, a bunch of stuff. Okay. So anyway, a lot more coming. Thank you for your patience on any of the possible glitches that we might have. That's just part of the, you know, the build out. We are resolving any little glitches here and there. So don't sweat it. Okay, so now I'm going to play the special report here about the AI bubble explained. This is important, so check it out and enjoy, and then we shall continue on the other side. Here we go, the AI bubble explained. I'm going to explain the AI bubble in a way that you may not have heard, and I have discernment here to differentiate between the AI stock prices, you know, AI company stock prices, versus the AI technology itself, because it is my contention that the stock prices of U.S. AI companies, such as OpenAI, yes, those stock prices are wildly overvalued, and they are going to crater at some point because they can't bring in the earnings that would justify those very high valuations. But at the same time, AI technology itself is incredibly promising, and it's only getting off the ground. And it will add many trillions of dollars of value to society. So how can I believe both of these things at the same time? That the stock price valuations are too high for these U.S. companies, but the technology is actually sort of underhyped at the moment, and it's going to generate trillions of dollars in value for society? How? Well, it's simple. Because the best AI engines are coming out of China, not the United States. And China's companies are releasing them for free. And seriously, so DeepSeek, Alibaba, Moonshot, you know, Qwen models, all of that, they are outstanding models. They are truly great models. Whereas U.S. companies like Meta stopped releasing their AI models open source. And OpenAI is trying to figure out how we make enough money by showing ads. That's their next thing. In ChatGPT, you're going to be hit with all these ads, which isn't going to work. It's not going to produce the revenue to justify $500 billion in company valuation. You know why? Because ChatGPT sucks. Okay, so actually, this is a multi-part answer. Number one, even if ChatGPT displayed ads, which they will, that's not going to generate enough revenue to justify their valuation. But there's something even worse, which is that ChatGPT is heavily, heavily censored. And it has been forced into this narrative where it only pushes FDA-approved lies about everything related to health. Pharmaceuticals, vaccines, of course, any kind of medicine, anything about herbs, nutrition, superfoods, disease prevention, etc. ChatGPT is no different than just searching Google and having Google lecture you on why there's no such thing as a cancer cure or other nonsense, or all vaccines are safe and effective, they say. So ChatGPT is just like Google now, which is, it's heavily censored and it's designed as a disinformation AI chatbot. It's designed to lie to you. And that's because, of course, the CIA went in there, the CIA threatened them, because this is how it always works with these big corporations, and said, look, if you don't push the depopulation agenda here through pharmaceuticals and vaccines and climate change and all this nonsense, then we will shut down your company. So you have to push this stuff. And they did. They agreed. So OpenAI has become just a bunch of propaganda at this point. And it lectures you all the time. I even heard an AI analyst, David Shapiro, was talking about this. He's had health problems before. I mean, he still has health problems related to having the wrong bacterial colonies in his gut, by the way. And he's been trying to use ChatGPT and other AI engines to find answers to his problems. And he's found ChatGPT to be completely useless. He even talked about it. He said, it just spits out FDA-approved nonsense, treats me like a child, and lectures me for daring to ask about nutrition or natural alternative remedies or treatments or something like that, you see? So there's almost no point in using ChatGPT if you have questions that might be controversial. Questions about health or medicine or vaccines or gold, silver, finance, questions about government corruption, etc. It's just going to give you the same nonsense that you would get from Google. Of course, if you want the truth about all these subjects, you need to use our free AI engine, which is at brightu.ai. And that's just the letter U, brightu.ai. Or you can find all our tools at brighteon.ai. So we offering a free tool with no advertising in it, we give you better results than a $500 billion company known as OpenAI that is about to pollute its results with ads. And even if you love ChatGPT and its capabilities on other things, because it does have capabilities that our engine does not. For example, ChatGPT does, you know, spreadsheets and high-level math and images and things like that. Even if you love the features of ChatGPT, there's a Chinese model that does it for free that's just as good, if not better. So here's the real answer to this. It's not just that ChatGPT is not going to be able to plaster enough ads to generate enough revenue to cover its valuation. It's not just that. It's that however good ChatGPT is, there's going to be a Chinese model that's just as good that costs nothing, that you can run for free. And you might say, well, how is it that these Chinese companies like Alibaba, how can they give away their models for free? Oh, and I forgot to mention DeepSeek, because DeepSeek is doing awesome work also. I mean, amazing. How can they give their models away? Well, it's simple. Because Alibaba, for example, their main business is hosting infrastructure, kind of like Amazon AWS. So sure, you can download, for example, you could download like Qwen 72 billion parameter model, and you can run it on your own infrastructure for free. Doesn't cost you anything. You can even train it on your own infrastructure. But if you've ever done that, you know that's kind of a pain, and you don't have the redundancy and the uptime on your own infrastructure typically that you would have if you host it with Alibaba. So Alibaba sells hosting services that are resilient, that are reliable. And that's where they make their money. So they've got a great business model where they can still give away the models for free, but make enough money off of the hosting of the infrastructure to continue to churn out great models. And their models cost only a fraction to develop compared to US models. So it doesn't matter how much revenue that OpenAI can generate, or even Google for that matter, there's always going to be a Chinese model that's just as good that costs zero. And that is why there's going to be a collapse in the stock prices of companies like OpenAI. OpenAI got too arrogant, they got too lazy, and the whole company, well, I mean, it started as a nonprofit. I think it was a foundation even. And the reason it was called OpenAI is because with Elon Musk as part of it originally, and Sam Altman, they set out to have an open AI system that is truly open, free to everyone, free to the world, to spread knowledge. You know, I mean, that's my goal. The thing is, I'm actually pursuing that with my AI engines, whereas OpenAI got greedy and they started seeing dollar bills in their heads and it started going, oh, this is worth billions of dollars. Let's close it up now. It's no longer open. Now it's closed. So OpenAI doesn't release open models. So technically their name should be Closed AI at this point, because they're closed models. And now they're trying to figure out how to make enough money to justify the valuation. And that's not going to work. So there's going to be a massive crash in the stock price of OpenAI. I just don't know when. I don't know what's going to trigger it. But I can tell you, as an AI developer myself and someone who's actually released open source models and built numerous AI applications and use almost every major model under the sun, I can tell you, OpenAI models, they suck compared to what else is available. OpenAI sucks. I mean, ChatGPT sucks compared to open source models coming out of China. So in addition to that, China is graduating 500% more STEM students compared to the United States. And In China, the cost of power to train models is about 40% lower than it is in the United States. And the cost to hire engineers in China is significantly lower than it is in the United States. So Chinese companies have cheaper power, lower cost engineers, a much larger pool of engineers. The best models, the open source dominance of the world now at this point, plus they have really amazing infrastructure that's more reliable than U.S. infrastructure because China's power grid in its major cities, in the South especially, is way more reliable than the power grid in the U.S. because the U.S. power grid is strained, it's overburdened in many areas, but especially among the 13 states on the eastern power grid. So in China, think about it, it's better, faster, cheaper, and more reliable to build models compared to the U.S. But the U.S. companies have all the massive valuations, but those valuations are smoke and mirrors. At least for OpenAI, it is. And also, Google has been spiking up recently. Google is a formidable tech company, no question about it. And they have enormous riches from their AdSense business on Google Search, which is increasingly obsolete at this point. So there's also a question of whether Google can create an ad-based AI revenue model that's also going to justify Google's valuations. And I'm not certain that they can. Perhaps they can. Again, they're not lightweights, obviously. A lot of smart people at Google. A lot of evil executives at Google. But they're smart and evil. You know what I'm saying? So don't discount Google in this race. But the jury is out on whether Google can make the numbers work in the long run. I'm not sure they can. Now, you might say that, well, all this stock valuation, this is being used by companies like OpenAI to build massive infrastructure. And that's true. And Amazon is building out massive infrastructure, and Amazon's releasing a new AI agentic system as well. I have yet to see what that's going to do, but it could be very useful. Who knows? But this AI infrastructure, of course, we're talking about data centers and lots of microchips, as in millions of microchips and gigawatts of data centers, okay? And the thinking is that if you just go big on this, you build a bigger data center, you have more chips, then automatically you're going to win the race to super intelligence. You're going to have better models, better results, etc. So more money equals winning. Except almost a year ago, DeepSeek proved that that's not true at all. They built a highly effective engine that rocked the whole market at a fraction of the cost of what Google might spend or what OpenAI might spend. So once again, China proved that you don't have to spend a fortune to build an amazing engine. And think about what we spent in our company. We spent only $2 million to modify a base model to make it the best engine in the world by far on questions like health, nutrition, vaccines, medicine, pharmaceuticals, climate change, you know, so much more. There's nothing that even comes close to it in the world. And we did it for about $2 million, which is unheard of. You know, I think Sam Altman's car costs more than $2 million. Okay. And Sam Altman has turned out to be quite a nefarious character in my view. And he's not at all committed to the things that he says he is. It seems his actions betray his words. He talks about, oh, we want to help humanity, but at the end, he's like, oh, and we want to make billions of dollars. Well, those goals aren't always incompatible or mutually exclusive, but in this case, they probably are, because they're going to have to, pollute the ChatGPT results with a bunch of ads and a bunch of interruptions to try to monetize it. And when they do that, people are going to say, no, thanks. They're going to go to Alibaba or Qwen, DeepSeek, whatever, or our AI engine at brightu.ai, where there are no ads, no interruptions, no pop-ups, no banners, no auto-playing videos, no garbage like that. Just pure signal, no noise. So what's likely to happen, in my view, in all of this, is that there's going to be a moment of reckoning for companies like OpenAI with a massive plunge in stock valuation. Now, I'm not saying that NVIDIA would suffer this, because NVIDIA makes the hardware, and the hardware has almost infinite demand at this point. Now, if OpenAI craters, you know, NVIDIA may suffer a little bit, but it's not going to share the same fate. So if OpenAI craters, NVIDIA may suffer a little bit, but it won't share the same fate as OpenAI in terms of the correction percentage. NVIDIA has a very bright future no matter what AI models people run. Because even if you're downloading and running Qwen or other free slash open source models from China, you still need NVIDIA microprocessors, the Blackwell class microprocessors, in order to run inference. So NVIDIA has a strong future. And no, I don't own any NVIDIA stock. I don't own any of these stocks, and I don't have short positions on any of these companies. That's just not my focus. I could care less about, you know, playing the stock market. I stack gold and silver, and then I sleep well at night, and I don't worry about it. So whatever happens to the stocks of these companies doesn't impact my finances at all, just to be clear, in case you're wondering. I want you to know that what I'm telling you here is my honest assessment of where things are headed. And for OpenAI, the stock valuation is going to crater at some point, I believe. And then you're going to find that a lot of companies will just be using Chinese models. And China, you see, the Chinese government provides a tremendous amount of funding for the AI industry through essentially government grants. And the Chinese government is very forward-looking on this and has put a lot more money into its own AI infrastructure and power infrastructure compared to the U.S. government, by far. Again, it's not even close. Now, the good news in all of this is that AI is a very useful technology. It's extraordinary, actually, and it will help businesses automate many tasks or semi-automate. It will augment human intelligence along the way. It will replace a lot of human workers in the more menial tasks, such as customer service and things like that. And in doing so, I think it will help uplift humans into a much higher role in society, that is, with some retraining or, you know, learning new skills, etc. But the bottom line is that AI is going to help companies be a lot more profitable. So AI will help corporations, even small businesses and, you know, small new ideas launched by individuals and entrepreneurs, etc. They will be able to reach profitability much more easily because of AI technology. So AI tech is a real thing. It really works. It's extraordinary. It may be the greatest invention in the history of our civilization. And it is going to add trillions of dollars to the economy before very long. And then it's just going to continue paying dividends. But that doesn't require companies to use OpenAI at all or any other paid models. They can do all of that with open source models, period. So what's the bottom line on all of this? Well, this isn't investment advice, and there could be things in play that I'm not aware of, but and don't take this as, you know, any kind of advice to try to short a company or invest in a company or anything like that. I just hope that you realize that the stock valuations of these US AI companies, they're pretty insane. And the Chinese technology is just as good, but completely free. So, you know, you can do the math from there, probably come to the realization that there's no way that these US stock valuations can be supported in the long run, unless there's some kind of amazing new breakthrough that happens that we're not aware of. But I don't see overnight super intelligence. If anything, this AI technology is just going to continue to get a little bit better every couple of months. I mean, it's already pretty amazing, but it's just going to keep getting better little by little, month after month. That's the way I see it. So in the meantime, yeah, AI is changing the world. And with your help, we are actually part of that positive change. We've launched brightlearn.ai, which is our book creation site. And as of right now, there are over 250 books that have been created by various creators on that site. They're all free to download. We've had some trouble with the email delivery of the download pages or the PDF download requests. And I think we've resolved those. So if you've had trouble downloading, go ahead and try that again. But anyway, we will fix it sooner or later. You can download all the books. You can keep a copy locally. You can create your own books there using tokens that you may have received from us if you're a Health Ranger store customer. So enjoy our tools. You can see all of our other AI tools. They're all free at brighteon.ai. So check it out. And thank you for supporting us, by the way. And thank you for using our tools. And spread the word about our tools, because you know, this is how we win. We bypass censorship, we decentralize knowledge and information, and we bring truth to the people without going through the gatekeepers like Google and OpenAI and Facebook and all that garbage. So thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care. All right, welcome back. We're going to be wrapping up today's broadcast here. I would normally have an interview here, but as I said, not going to have interviews today or tomorrow. We'll hopefully get one for you on Friday, but if not, it will be Monday. But what I'm doing instead is working on the book engine. So you can expect some major new improvements and features and things like that coming your way at books.brightlearn.ai. And in fact, we've already made an improvement that you may not be aware of, which is that we are now automatically generating text summaries of your book. And then that summary goes onto your book homepage automatically. So it's pretty cool. Oh, and one other thing I want to mention is that all these books are going to start being incorporated into, for example, at the bottom of Natural News articles. It will recommend related books. Could be your book. On censored.news, it will start crawling the book's website and incorporating appropriate books into news trends. In addition, at our AI engine, brightu.ai, where appropriate, it will start recommending links to the books that are associated with the prompt, the question and the answer that have just been generated there on that site. So when you create a book at brightlearn.ai, that book is going to get syndicated across our other properties, you know, our other AI engines and our content sites. And I've got some big news to announce in 2026 about a new project that will also incorporate related books to link back to the book. So again, if you're the author, you're going to get book views, you're going to get your author name out there. And if you put information into the book prompt, that gets incorporated into the book. So you can create a book around things that you strongly advocate. You know, I mean, you can even recommend websites or other books or documentaries or, you know, services or brands or things like that within the book. That's all part of your prompt. So some authors are creating books that are sort of authored with their channel names, for example, you know, like they have a video channel. And that's a very smart thing to do. They're kind of branding themselves and using our book platform as a distribution hub for content. And see, this is called advanced content marketing, you could say, even though it's not traditional marketing. You know, it's not in your face. It's not pop-up banners and ads and obtrusive garbage, right? It's just, in effect, it's marketing yourself through knowledge decentralization, which, in my opinion, is a much better way to market yourself. You know, get your name out there. And if you've got a website with a product or a service, you can include these books as bonus items with people that purchase from you, you know, because you can use them commercially. That's allowed under the license. So take advantage of all of this, and you can do so at brightlearn.ai or books.brightlearn.ai. And remember, we have our AI engine at brighteon.ai, or actually that's the hub that shows you all of our AI tools. So check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. And thank you for listening today. We'll have, of course, more updates for you tomorrow. And in the meantime, be well. Be well. Enjoy the time that we all have here. Enjoy the life that we have. We are actually very fortunate to be in this situation right now, you and I, to have this knowledge We are so aware of what's happening in the world. We're so much more advanced than the typical masses. We've got a really good outlook. If you own gold and silver, you're really well situated for everything that's coming. And if you don't yet have backup systems, I should also plug our regular sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. And they, of course, offer satellite phones as well as solar generators, Faraday bags, and Starlink systems for satellite-based bandwidth at Starlink123.com. The sat phones are at sat123.com. So check those out and get yourself all squared away for the interesting times ahead. 2026 is going to be one of the most disruptive years, probably, I imagine, that we've ever lived through. But those of us who are well prepared, we're going to be okay. And then we're going to be able to help as many people as possible through that process. And by the way, these books are part of it too. I need to get a bunch of books published about survival strategies and preparedness. And I will. I'm just working on the engine itself right now. And I'm not actually producing all the books that are on my list. I've got a list of like 30 books that I want to do. And I'm hoping to get them all done here soon. But every time I have free time, I'm building more features. So we'll see what happens. All right. Thank you for listening. Be well. Take care. We've got turmeric root powder back in stock at healthrangerstore.com. And the reason you want to get turmeric root powder from us is because, of course, turmeric is very frequently contaminated with lead. But we do all of our own testing. We've got an ISO accredited laboratory with multiple mass spec instruments, and we test for lead and mercury, arsenic, and cadmium as well, plus glyphosate. And for some of our products, we test for atrazine. For everything, including turmeric, we test for E. coli, salmonella. We test for yeast and mold, total plate count, and listeria, and many other things. So we test in-house to make sure that you get the cleanest foods and superfoods, nutritional supplements, and personal care products imaginable. And that's why people love us, and thank you for all your support. But go to our website. Here it is, healthrangerstore.com. And right here, you can just search for turmeric. Or you can shop any of the other categories that we have and some of our sales and so on. But here's our turmeric root powder. It's back in stock right now. This is something that's very difficult for us to keep in stock. And of course, it's organic and it's lab tested on top of that. But we also have, and I'm showing it on my desk, we also have the turmeric tinctures available. We have our regular tincture and then our plus version, which has black pepper and ginger in it as well. And these products are incredibly popular. They're very delicious. People love them. And also they are lab tested like our turmeric powder. So if you want to learn about turmeric and why it's so beneficial, you can go to, any AI engine or use our AI, which is trained on nutrition. That's at brighteon.ai. And you can ask it, hey, how can I use turmeric? Give me some recipe ideas. Or what nutrients are found in turmeric? And how might those benefit my health or support my natural health? You can ask it questions like that, and you'll get very good informative answers. So use our store, healthrangerstore.com, to acquire these products that give you outstanding nutrition, and use our AI engines at brighteon.ai to learn about how they benefit you and how you can use them. So thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.